Ezekiel's Fire, The Great Solar Cataclysm Straight Out of Prophecy by John Little. Copyright 2022. Narrated by the author. Section 2. The Bible. I love science. Every part of the study of God's creation is wonderful and wondrous. From the tiniest subatomic particle to the biggest objects in the universe, it's all fantastic. And when I went to college, I sought a degree in physics with a goal towards getting a PhD. However, God had other, better plans for me, but I never lost my fascination with His creation. What a truly amazing universe our Lord created. However, as I said at the end of the previous section, our science is flawed, since it relies on human perception to increase knowledge and understanding. And we humans have a terrible history of using corrupt thinking to distort and even obscure what we see. And that's why we should always trust the Bible more than science. Unfortunately, we often bring corrupt thinking to our view of the Bible. There are hundreds of Christian denominations, maybe thousands, yet there is only one Bible. Why? Why are there so many denominations? Sin and rebellion. Our churches and seminaries are full of it, and our sinfulness and disobedience has caused churches to split and split again. Instead of loving each other and submitting to God, we have corrupted the truth with foolish notions, and it's so very, very easy to do. This is why I have been very careful to follow this rule. Quote, "Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Those just weaned from milk, those just drawn from the breasts? For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little." Isaiah 28, 9 and 10, NKJV. Since our churches and seminaries don't do that anymore, we now have utter chaos. And God has this to say for those who will not listen. Quote, "To whom he said, this is the rest with which you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing, yet they would not hear. But the word of the Lord was to them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, that they might go and fall backward and be broken and snared and caught." Close quote. Isaiah 28, 12 and 13, NKJV. Since we have refused to hear, we have fallen backward and have been broken, snared, and caught. It will only get worse as we move deeper and deeper into these last days. So here is my rule for determining what is evidence. If the Bible says it, it must be considered as fact. We might not understand that fact might even be a little disturbing. We might not want to accept that fact. But it's still a fact, no matter what we might think or want. The last days were always going to be awful, no matter what we would have liked them to be. Then there's a corollary. If the Bible doesn't say it, you can't claim it as fact. We have a long history of adding things to the Bible that aren't there, and then teaching what we've added as if it was fact. We've done this for thousands of years. The Roman Catholic Church did it. The Orthodox Church did it. Protestants did it. Baptists, Charismatics, Pentecostals, Seventh-day Adventists, and everyone else that I forgot to mention have all been doing it. But there comes a time when we need to stop. God has been patient with us for two millennia. He has allowed us to rush about with our foolish notions, but the time for that is over. The last days have begun, and time is running out. If we continue to rebel against the facts of the Bible, we will pay a price for that. When Gog comes. One of those facts is the timing of Gog and Magog. I wrote When Gog Comes in part because I wasn't completely sure that I had the facts right, and now that I've proven as fact that Gog and Magog will come long before the Antichrist, it's time for all of us to accept that fact as well. If you don't, you will not be ready when Ezekiel's fire comes. You won't even be ready for what comes between now and then. Hundreds of millions, even billions, will suffer and die in the coming years due to violence, war, and famine. Our governments have set us on a course for war, and violence will sweep the world as food scarcity tears apart the most vulnerable among us. And at some point, after the four horsemen of the apocalypse have begun their ride, a man the Bible calls Gog will gather an alliance and descend upon the Middle East. Worse, I have yet to find a single pastor or theologian who can speak about this with any authority. They can't prove me wrong, and their own explanations for what is coming are just the tattered shadows of wishful thinking. And their reluctance to speak about these things has left you unprepared for what's coming. What the Bible says about Ezekiel's fire. So what is it that the Bible actually says about Ezekiel's fire? We've already mentioned quite a few things. The sun will be as bright as 7 days and the moon as bright as the sun. There will be a global earthquake that knocks down buildings all over the world. Cars and trucks will cease to function. Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Zechariah all mentioned this, so we accept it as fact. What we don't know is why. Why do all these things happen? What is the context? When will it happen? If you've already gone through when Gog comes, you'll know that all of this happens when Gog and Magog invade Israel. And the context is the return of Jacob to God. And for those of us who have been watching the ride of the four horsemen, I believe that all of this comes a lot sooner than we would like. The Ezekiel Tetrad. In the next chapter, we will expand on the core reason and the context of why Ezekiel's fire must happen in the way that is described. It's about the return of Jacob to God. For 2,000 years, Jacob's descendants have refused to acknowledge their Messiah. God will use this great calamity to fulfill a promise made to his friend Abraham. The people who rejected him will return and be his people once again. Isaiah. After Ezekiel, we'll turn to Isaiah, specifically chapters 30, 13, and 14, and 17. Those passages describe what will also happen when the sun becomes as bright as 7 days and the moon as bright as the sun. God will bind up the bruise of his people and heal the stroke of their wound. Israelis will reject 2,000 years of idolatry. Iran will destroy the Sunni heartland of Iraq, where the ruins of ancient Babylon still sit. The rainfall patterns will shift, bringing more rain to southern Israel, and Damascus will cease from being a city. Jeremiah 30, Micah 5, and Zephaniah 3. Those who read When Gog Comes will recognize some of what we will go through in Jeremiah and Micah, but not Zephaniah. We will prove yet again that Jacob's trouble is not the Great Tribulation. I wish that I was wrong about this, since I do not relish the thought of going through what is described, but we don't have a choice. The Bible clearly ties Jeremiah 30 together with Isaiah 30, as well as Micah 5 and Zephaniah 3. Catastrophe and reconciliation are the theme of these prophets, as well as judgment upon those who mistreated Israel while they were in exile. Some will want to call this the final judgment before the millennium, but it isn't. God's wrath has happened many times in the past, but never have our sins been so great as they are now. Judgment comes first to the house of the Lord, and it will be global. Zechariah. In Zechariah 12 and 13, we bring all that we know about the return of Jacob to God, connect it to the coming of Gog and Magog, and the vast global electromagnetic pulse from the sun that will knock our high-tech civilization back to the Stone Age. And it is only in our current age that we could have understood how terrifying all of this will be. All who need running water and food transported from far away, all of them will die. All. Every water pump will cease to work. All the trucks that carry our food will no longer function. This alone will cause billions to die. And those who survive will suffer unimaginable violence as those without enough to eat take from those who have what they want. In one sense, we are already seeing a foreshadow of this with Russia's awful invasion of Ukraine. Russia wants what Ukraine has and chose to use violence to get it. And this will repeat as strong powers seek to dominate those who are weak. Revelation 6, and when Gog comes. Then to tie everything together, we bring in Revelation 6 and what was proven in When Gog Comes. They say that timing is everything, and in this case, it's true. As we race towards our rendezvous with prophecy, we have been looking the wrong direction, precisely because we had the timeline of the last days all mixed up. That needs to change. Understanding the true timing of when Gog and Magog invade will upend our foolish notions and put us on the right course for understanding what's coming. Every mainstream theory that we have about the last days will be turned upside down, and we will finally understand the order of events of Revelation, as well as what the prophets have said about the coming of the Antichrist and the return of Jesus Christ. We have indulged ourselves with fables for long enough. A difficult future has arrived, and it is time that we faced that. Ezekiel's Fire, The Great Solar Cataclysm Straight Out of Prophecy by John Little. Copyright 2022, narrated by the author.